Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. It's a holiday edition, so happy Labor Day to all. Hope everybody is enjoying their day off and has enjoyed the first full week of college football. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. We'll do a quick recap of Indiana's 23-3 loss of to Ohio State in the season opener, and then we'll roll into Indiana's next game against Indiana State, which is on Friday at 7 p.m. at Memorial Stadium. It'll be televised on BTN, and of course you can listen to Don Fisher and Rhett Lewis and myself on the IU radio network too. TJ, I gave my thoughts on our After the Dust Settles podcast yesterday with Alex Compton. If you haven't listened to it, hit up wherever you get your podcasts and listen to it. Interesting takes from Alex on there about the offense. But we wanted to ask you, TJ, what were your takeaways from Indiana's 23-3 loss to Ohio State to open the season?
Yeah, I think positives you have to take from that game would be that Indiana's defense has definitely improved. You saw guys that we talked about all offseason, like Andre Carter, really make a big impact, make some big plays. I thought the tackling was pretty good from Indiana, especially considering the opposition, and that it was the first week. I thought that the secondary really deserves a lot of credit for the work that they did against Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Buka. Holding those guys to what IU did, really no explosive plays from those two. Harrison Jr., 2 catches on 6 targets for 18 yards. And Abuka, 3 catches on 4 targets for 16 yards. Yards after the catch, totaling 12 yards between the two of them, and a long reception for both of them of 9 yards. I would be stunned if anyone else held them to numbers like that all season. Part of that was Ohio State not really forcing it to those two. But, you have to give credit to IU's secondary. Definitely looked a lot better than they have in a while. So, that's on the positive side. I thought the offensive line looked much better. It's not like there were gaping holes to run through, but Ohio State was not living in IU's backfield either. So I thought that that was a positive, definitely progress on the offensive line side. The negative, of course, is going to be that we do not know if Indiana has a quarterback that they feel good about. We don't know yet. We said all offseason leading up to this game and the Indiana State game that we're going to get pieces of information, but we're not going to know anything really until after these 2 weeks. Ohio State, that defense is terrific. They've got 7, maybe 8 NFL draft picks in the next draft on that unit. And, Indiana State's going to be the other way, where Indiana should outmatch them and overwhelm them at every spot on their defense. So, we're not going to really be able to tell much from that Indiana State game, just like we can't really tell much from the Ohio State game. I think the big talking point is how conservative IU's offense was. I do think that from a game plan standpoint, Indiana deserves a lot of credit for shrinking the game, and I think frustrating Ohio State and their offense. I think that IU really did. They frustrated them with IU's defense and with Indiana's offense. They weren't really having any success, but they were, you know, going at a tempo that did not take any chances and forced Ohio State to stay on the sideline. So the negative side of that is that they didn't take any chances and were so conservative that they didn't really play for a chance to win that game. And that was the case even when, you know, it was 7-3 and 10-3, you know, somewhat late into the third quarter. It still seemed like IU was not willing to get aggressive at all. A total of 21 pass attempts between both quarterbacks, 82 passing yards, really took one shot down the field, and that was overthrown by Taven Jackson. Beyond that, I don't know if they threw the ball more than 15 yards down the field. So just we didn't really learn hardly anything about the offense, and we go into week two still with the exact same questions about it. But I do think that you have to be, you know, very pleased with the effort the defense gave.
Yeah, I thought the defense was terrific. A lot of new transfers playing well. It looks like when you need a play, you could rely on Aaron Casey, Andre Carter, and Jacob Magnum Ferrara. Nick Toomer, I thought, was terrific in the secondary. Same with Kobe Miner. Lewis Moore is not a newcomer this year, but Lewis Moore played well. I thought Jordan Shaw played well. They answered a lot of questions that we all had going into the season against what should still be an elite offense. They'll get that quarterback position figured out at Ohio State. If there's one thing that Ryan Day could do, it's coach quarterbacks. So offensively, it was frustrating. It was very frustrating. And you go into Indiana State. Now, look, if Indiana puts up 49 points and both quarterbacks look good, I'm taking the same attitude. It's kind of the inverse of Ohio State. You're playing an inferior opponent, and you're going to do what you're supposed to do. So I'm kind of reserving judgment on the quarterback race till after the Louisville game. That's a matchup opponent. You'll see. Right. You know, right. You'll see what happens. But, yeah, offensive line gave them enough time. There were holes in the running game. I would like them to not run Jalen Lucas up the middle 12 times. But, you know, get him out on space. Or as I think the mop lady said, you know, I'd like to see him get the ball on earth first before we get it to him in space. But that's a little Monday humor for all of us. But, yeah, Jalen Lucas, maybe take him off of punt returns unless you need a big one, which – you kind of did against Ohio State. I'd like to see against Indiana State, go break somebody else in at that punt return position because he's too valuable to lose on a punt return. But yeah, overall Ohio State, it was a great showing by the defense, a little too conservative on offense, but as you and Alex both said, you saw the game plan and they had a plan. And I think that's the encouraging part. It's really tough to run the option against a team like Ohio State, who has elite athletes at every level of the defense and things like that. Yeah. But the positives you could take away from the offense were they controlled the ball. They had 28 minutes of time of possession. They didn't turn the ball over, which is huge. That was a big problem last year. And if you look at our old friend Connor Bazelak, at Bowling Green, I believe he got benched and threw three interceptions as well in their game against Liberty. I'd like to see the weapons on offense get involved more. You know, E.J. Williams, DeKeese Carter, Donovan McCulley, Cam Camper as well. Let those guys, you know, get open, make some play. They could catch contested passes. I think it was just conservative that you don't get your wheels blown off. And you move on, which, you know what, I think they did. They covered the spread. Nobody – we'll see what Tom Allen announces today, but to my knowledge, nobody had any significant injuries coming out of that game. Right. And we'll see. But TJ, let's get into Indiana State. Indiana's on a short week this week, which is, I think, sort of a blessing too, because then you have a longer week to prepare for Louisville. Sycamores open the season with a 27-0 loss to Eastern Illinois. ISU had 6 turnovers that game, and it, you know, looking at the box score, they're probably lucky that it was only 27-0 and not more. Tell us a little bit about Indiana State.
Well, yeah, maybe a little lucky it was only 27-0, but I do think that the defense for Indiana State is a little hard done by that score line. Eastern Illinois only had 2 scoring drives. 2 of those turnovers were pick sixes that gave Eastern Illinois 2 touchdowns. So really only 2 drives for Eastern Illinois resulted in scores for their offense. Their opening drive was a 7-play, 78-yard drive that was a touchdown. And the other one was a 6-play, 59-yard drive that was a touchdown. Beyond that, Eastern Illinois' offense did not score. So that, you know, that's interesting for sure when you see a score of 27-0 and the offense only puts up 14 points. So there's 2 pick sixes for Eastern Illinois. Both of those came right towards the end of the first half to kind of, you know, make that a non-competitive game. Obviously, I'm not going to sit here and try to pretend, oh, well, yeah, they're better than they look. They're dangerous. No, this is a game Indiana should be able to, you know, you look at, oh, your freshmen get to play 4 games. This is one of the ones that they will be playing. I use participation chart at the end of this Indiana State game should look pretty lengthy. Nearly everybody will probably be getting into this contest if things go the way that you plan on. At quarterback, they're going to be playing Gavin Screws. He was 13 of 24, 116 yards. He had 2 of the interceptions, was sacked 3 times. Does not really offer much in the running game. The other quarterback, I mean, look, he was 0 for 2, 2 interceptions. So your 2 pass attempts are both picked off. That's bad. He did have 9 carries, 60 yards. So he was their leading rusher. So that kind of gives you an idea. When he comes in, it's probably going to be a run. When Screws is in there, it's probably going to be either a handoff or a pass from him. Only 1 receiving weapon, really. That's Dakota Caton. He had 6 of their catches for 70 yards. So 70 of the 116 were his. On defense, you know, again, they did a decent job, particularly against the run. Only gave up 3.1 yards per carry. And a long rush on the day of 27 yards. Beyond that, only 1 run that Eastern Illinois had went for more than 10 yards. So they ran it 30 times and only had 2 carries that went longer than 10 yards. So, you know, pretty good job minimizing explosive plays on the ground. Eastern Illinois did throw for 244. So I do think that there is going to be a really good opportunity for IU's quarterbacks to start to feel good about themselves against Indiana State. Now, I think the only thing that you really are going to learn anything about, if IU's offense goes out there against this Sycamores defense and struggles, then you raise the red flag and say, look, we've got a big time concern here. When's Dexter Williams going to get healthy? If Sorsby and Jackson, if one of them goes out there and really struggles and the other one plays pretty well, maybe you learn something there. But that's, unfortunately, I think you're only going to learn something possibly in the negative in this game. because the expectation is you'll be able to move the ball pretty well against this defense. And your defense, if you feel like it, if you're going to, you know, depending on how long you want to play the first and second string, you know, you should be able to have your way, force some turnovers. Again, six of them for Indiana State in this game. So an opportunity to build some confidence in the defense and start to get those takeaways, which, you know, could be infectious as you move forward. It could be a belief that you have in, as a unit that, hey, look how much better we've gotten. Look what we just did. We got, you know, four takeaways. That could be a building block for you, even if it is against an inferior opponent. But, you know, maybe you don't see the first and second unit guys play all that much as you rotate in a lot of bodies would be the expectation. I think the biggest thing for the coaching staff going into this game is going to be on offense, because I think you do feel good about what the defense did. So on offense, being able to instill some confidence that the plan that you worked on all offseason can work. Because there's probably some doubts right now in the locker room, particularly in the passing game. I think that there are probably some doubts from the receivers. There's probably some doubts in the minds of the quarterbacks. And this is a game that can instill some belief that, look, we worked on this system all off season. There's new personnel. There's, you know, a new position coaches. And what you're looking for is some belief that comes from success. Yes, it's Indiana State, but being able to see it succeed against an opponent, I think, is important for the IU offense, for those players and for those coaches. So I don't think you learn anything from going out there and putting up some big numbers, but I do think you can feel a little bit better. And if the opposite comes true, where you go out there and kind of struggle to get 27 points, or, you know, have some drives where you don't move the ball at all, I think there would really be some concerns heading into week three.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, this is a game that should be a, you know, pick your score game for IU, whatever you want it to be. You know, my guess is that Tom Allen's not going to drop 70 on a team if he doesn't have to. But it's for offensively.
Especially, it's a Mallory. You know, I think Kurt Mallory is the head coach for Indiana State. So,
yep.
IU is not going to do anything to embarrass, and they shouldn't. There's nothing to gain by that.
But if you hand the ball off 60 times and, you know, Josh Henderson and Christian Turner and Jalen Lucas break 5 50-yard runs, that's not on IU for running it up. That's, you know, Indiana State's going to stop you too. But yeah, you're right. It's a game where Indiana's quarterbacks need some confidence. And this is Taven Jackson's going to start. It was announced by Tom Allen afterwards, after the Ohio State game, that Brandon Sorsby was going to start Ohio State. Taven Jackson gets Indiana State. Both of them are probably going to – I would say both of them are going to play. How they divvy up the reps, who knows? Do they go Taven Jackson the first half, Brandon Sorsby the second half? Did they do the two drives, and then play the hot hand, which they kind of did against Ohio State? And, you know, Taven was the hot hand early. Brandon Sorsby was the hot hand in the second half. And I use that term loosely, the hot hand, since, you know, 100.
You put warm hand.
Yeah, if that, the room temperature. It's like that. So how they divide it up, but you're right. It's all about confidence. Can you see them complete some passes? Can they get, you know, the playmakers, the ball? Can the option work? This is a team that, even if, you know, you're not a great option team, you should be able to run against. They don't have the athletes that Ohio State has. They don't have the team speed that Ohio State has. IU should be better at every position than Indiana State. You know, the defense should feast. Anytime a team turns the ball over six times, it's an issue. I don't know if Indiana State's going to turn it over six times against IU, but they should hit that goal of three takeaways. And I wouldn't be shocked if it's another shutout. If you're the defense staff for IU, you're looking your chops going, hey, we could get a shutout here, which I know it's against Indiana State. It doesn't really, you know, excite that many people, but at the end of the year, you know, your first two games, you're holding Ohio State to 23 points, who normally scores in the 40s against IU. And if you could get a shutout, you know, you're down to, you know, 12 and a half points per game. And statistically, if you look at the rankings and all that stuff, and I know it's not played on paper, but it looks a heck of a lot better saying, oh, Indiana's going into the Louisville game, giving up 12 and a half points a game, and they played Ohio State. So it, for the long run, it'll look very good on paper, but they got to get the win, and they got to look good on offense doing it. TJ, what's one thing on, you know, the defense, it's I want to see more people play and build that depth at linebacker behind Jacob Magnum Ferrara and Aaron Casey. So
yeah,
let's focus on the offensive side of the ball. What's one thing on offense that you want to see happen on Friday night?
I want to see some consistency from the quarterbacks and some verticality from the passing game. And that doesn't mean that you're throwing, you know, 50-yard bombs on every series. But I want to see Indiana stretch the field a little bit vertically and see what these guys have. You know, the receivers should be able to get some separation against this secondary. The quarterbacks should have a clean pocket for the most part against the defensive front for Indiana State. So, you know, the conditions are there to be able to put some accurate passes on, you know, passes 15 plus yards down the field. And I want to see that. I don't expect a particularly, you know, innovative or creative game plan. You're not going to want to show that against Indiana State, but I want to see it opened up some and some verticality in that passing game. Let's see what the receivers can do getting down the field some, and let's see what these quarterbacks can do getting the ball, you know, more than 5-10 yards down the field. I want to see that. And the second thing that I want to see is I'd like to see these running backs, and I'm mainly speaking to Josh Henderson and Jalen Lucas, because I thought Christian Turner did a pretty nice job. But Henderson, only 3 carries for 5 yards, which I was surprised by. And then Jalen Lucas, 11 carries, 27 yards. Again, too much in the middle for him. So a little bit better utilization of those running backs, hopefully on Friday night. I don't know what the numbers would look like for it to be a success, but I think you'll see it, you know, be able to see them get a little bit more success and be a little bit better utilized. And if they choose to go with the option, that kind of spread option look would definitely be a bit more likely to succeed to the sides. You know, against Ohio State, you were looking at linebackers, defensive line, secondary that were sure tacklers and that had the speed to get side to side, cover the whole field. And Indiana could block pretty well, which at times they didn't, but they could block really well on the edges and it wouldn't matter. Ohio State was still going to beat you to the edge and be able to prevent that option from causing any damage. That's not going to be the case against Indiana State, and it's not going to be the case against a lot. So being able to see that get some success, I think would be a big deal too. Again, though, primary thing for me is see what these quarterbacks have, get a little bit vertical in that passing game, and hopefully find some success there. so that there's something to build on for the Louisville game.
Yeah, I think, you know, going with the quarterbacks, I want to see them make the right decisions. You know, throw the ball to the right read. Don't force the ball into the double coverage and stuff like that. Make all your throws. And, yeah, Indiana's got to open up the playbook a little bit and throw, you know, throw deep. But don't throw it if, you know, if Indiana State's coming out in the prevent and is covering the deep ball, take what they give you. You know, throw those short routes. But if they're coming up and pressing you, yeah, go deep. Use that vertical and things like that. So prediction time, TJ. What's your prediction for Friday night?
Yeah, I think Indiana is going to play a ton of guys. And I do not think that there's any motivation on Tom Allen's side to embarrass the Mallory family or Indiana State, you know, an in-state program that is trying to rebuild. I think that is going to give Indiana State an opportunity to put some points on the board. I do think that they get a touchdown drive. So Indiana State 7, Indiana State or Indiana 45. So 45-7. I think it will be a very comfortable win that a whole lot of guys get on the field. I do think that's going to be Tom Allen's primary focus, is getting, I don't know about everybody on the roster, but any players that you have an inclination can help you now or in the future, getting them some snaps on Friday night. You know, this is one that there's not much to be gained by keeping the starters out there to win, you know, 59-0. It is more beneficial to get reps for, you know, your second, third, maybe fourth string guys as you look to the future, and also look to, you know, the rest of this season, kind of get some live action to see, hey, this is a guy that we kind of liked how he performed in fall camp. He's not quite ready for a, you know, a headlining role, but let's throw him in there in a game situation and see if we can rely on him for some snaps later on in the season. That type of evaluation game. So I think you'll see a ton of guys play. Indiana wins comfortably 45-7, hopefully stays healthy to move on to Louisville.
Yeah, I along those lines, this is a game how you build depth, and Tom Allen in the past just hasn't, I don't think he's done a good enough job doing that. So maybe this is a chance to right some wrongs in that way. It'd be nice to see Joshua Rudolph play more. It'd be nice to see Caden Turner play more and Isaiah Jones. You know, the young offensive lineman as well, get in there. You'd like to see some of the, you know, younger secondary pieces too. Maybe an Omar Cooper gets in there at wide receiver. This game should be, all right, starters go in. Here's the game plan. Let's execute the game plan. And I don't think you're going to see Brock Lowry play just because you need you need as many game live snaps for Brandon Sorsby and Taven Jackson as possible. But it's a game where, hey, here's the game plan. Let's execute it to the best that we can. And I don't think you're going to see the fourth quarter where they're just handing it off. They might run the option the whole time, but it's not going to be drop back, hand the ball off, run it up the middle, or at least it shouldn't. Defensively, the IU should dominate this team. They should come out. They have a chance to be a real special defense again this year, kind of like the 2020 defense. And you have a chance to get a shutout. And, yeah, it's against an FCS team, but shutouts are rare at IU. And before Tom Allen came there, they hadn't had a shutout, I believe, since, like, 1993. So it's another – you put in – it's a record book game. It's okay. Let's see what we could do, who we could get the ball to, and can we get, you know, last time IU shut out an opponent, you know, September 8th or against Indiana State. I think it's going to be 49-0 IU. Maybe, you know, it's a name your score game. What do you want it to be? Do you want it to be 55-0? Do you want it to be 42-0? Do you want to kick a field goal and make it 45-0? It's a name your score game. Hopefully the crowd is decent. The weather's supposed to be a lot cooler. It's supposed to be high in the mid-70s, which is perfect football weather. But this is a get-right game for Indiana going into Louisville, which is, I think, the most important game of the season. If you could get Louisville, it opens the door to a lot of possibilities for IU this season. So, TJ, thanks for joining us today. Enjoy the rest of your Labor Day, and enjoy, you know, Clemson tonight playing Duke. That's your first Clemson game down in South Carolina. How do you feel about it?
It'll be interesting. Yeah, a lot of talk about, you know, Duke being much improved in 2022 under Mike Elko. However, you know, they did not beat a ranked team. A lot of their wins were against kind of the middle to lower of the ACC, but still, you know, a much better team than you would kind of expect going into a game against Duke. They return a whole lot. Clemson, of course, Garrett Riley, first game as offensive coordinator. Cade Klubnik now full-time starter. You know, expectations are high for the Tigers here in the upstate area. I'm after what Florida State did to LSU on Sunday night, all eyes are kind of pointing towards that game here in late September in Death Valley. I would anticipate that would now be a primetime game. Clemson, last I looked, favored by 13, but it's expected to be a competitive game and one that I think for the neutrals out there should be a lot of fun to watch. Kind of a palate cleanser to end your college football mega week to start the season. And then, of course, you know, NFL gets going on Thursday, so there's really not going to be very many off nights, if you will, for the next few months, which is just the way we like it.
Yeah, hey, you know, it's wall-to-wall football. You have NFL on Thursday, you've got IU on Friday, and then, you know, a full slate of college football Saturday and a full slate of NFL on Sunday before you get to Monday
Good
night
week,
football.
Too. Saturday's got a lot of very interesting games.
Yep, you got Texas, Alabama, a lot of interesting games there as well. So thank you, TJ. You can follow us at HoosierHuddle.com, on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Subscribe to our podcast on anywhere you could get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You know, anywhere you get podcasts, you can follow us on our YouTube channel as well. We enjoy all the interactions with fans and things like that. So enjoy the short work week. And Indiana takes on Indiana State Friday night at 7 p.m. in Memorial Stadium, televised on BTN. That does it for today's podcast. Thank you for listening.